We're going to conclude this particular series, not because there's not a lot more we could be said and taught, but I want to move on in some other areas, especially with Jubilee coming up. So I'm going to get into an area that I hope you'll find very interesting. I'll be sharing some nuggets, spiritual nuggets on the walk of faith, the life of faith that applies to your home, applies to your personal life. And I can promise you that several of these are going to really minister. I hope that they will. It'd be a good time to do some checkup. Let me read, I'm just going to read Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to begin reading chapter 6 down through several scriptures. Then I'll have another comment, then we'll have a word of prayer. Now this is the commandment, the statute and the judgments, which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do in the land where you're going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments I command you all the days of your life, so that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and walk by the way and when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, great and splendid cities which you did not build, houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards, olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied, then watch yourself, that you do not forget the Lord who brought you from the land of Egypt out of the house of slavery. You fear only the Lord your God, and you shall worship him and swear by his name. Do not follow other gods, any of the gods of the people who surround you. For the Lord your God is in the midst of you as a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of the Lord your God will be kindled against you, and wipe you off the face of the earth. Now, we're going to complete the series today. We need to move on. I shared with you in our first study that there's no such thing as a perfect home. You're going to find that out. If you think your home's perfect, eventually you're going to find out there's going to be some things that'll happen that you'll wonder why they happen. And it wasn't because you wasn't a good mom and daddy. It wasn't a good mom and daddy. It's just things happen. And God is perfect. And so he gives us grace for our imperfections and for all of our needs. And every home is different. There's no home that's the same as another home. So we all need help and grace and all kinds of areas. What I wanted to do in this particular end up this series is share with you some issues about faith. There's nothing more important to a believer's life than learning what we call faith principles. One problem is that some believers really don't know how to maintain a healthy spiritual faith life. And we're going to share some things with you today that will help in that area. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. You need to remember, when you receive Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, you entered into the faith realm. I mean, you were already there. You don't have to learn. You did that. And because you're in the faith realm, because you've been drawn into the kingdom of the beloved Son, there are things that we need to learn about having healthy faith and how to with the Lord. So I'm going to share with you some nuggets that I've accrued and gathered over the years that pertain to a life of faith. I have 12 of them. I'm not going to labor any of them because it'll take a little while to go through 12. But I will give you a scripture or two with every one. Some I feel like that you're really going to want to make a note or two on. But they'll help these faith adjustment factors. So our subject is 12 nuggets of gold. And the last is going to surprise you. I started to... In fact, I think I'll do this. By the time we get down to number 12, I'm going to pause for a second or two, and if you can guess what number 12 is, I'll buy you lunch today. I started to make it a 13th. I said, no, let me just put it on the 12th. So if you can guess what 12 is, you get a free lunch on me. Not your whole tribe now. because I got to get in my billfold. I'm not a rich man, folks, except my Father is very rich. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bring glory to you. Thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you for the day and that we can gather together in your name. And I know all your people feel good about gathering together, Lord. No matter where we are your people called by your name, the sheep of your pasture. You are our shepherd. Thank you for blessing us, Lord, calling us into your life. Bless you, children, the pulpits of the lands who declare Jesus in truth. Help me to minister as I should, Heavenly Father, that the benefit would come to all of us, Lord. We give honor to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to start number down. These are 12 nuggets of gold. Number one, remember that Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of faith. This is bedrock. This is the bedrock nugget. If you know that, everything else is going to flow together. So remember that Jesus Christ is the author of your faith. He is the developer of your faith. He is the finisher of your faith. You remember that, you're going to do well with everything else. Now, Nathan ministered Friday night. He finished up a series on the book of John. And he drew attention to an experience that Peter had, where Peter denied the Lord three times. The Lord found him, had him confess his love to the Lord three times, a great healing principle. What you're seeing in that example is a true picture of salvation. He's the author and the finisher. He began, he completes your faith. So our faith walk, keep in mind that your faith walk is deeply personal. You cannot compare yourself to anyone else, so don't concern yourself with the other fellow. Remember, it's your faith that you're going to walk in. Now here's the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and then I'm going to move along. I'll try not to. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Here's where the Apostle Paul calls us to self-examination. Number one is remember that Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, test the pastor to see if he's in the faith. Doesn't say that, does it? Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail the test. That is, unless indeed you're not a true believer, is what he's saying. So what he's saying is, come to the bedrock of your faith, Christ in you. He is the author, the finisher, he is completer of your faith. That's number one. Now that's the bedrock. Number two, always remember God's renewing mercies. This is a bigger, biggie. This is a biggie. Because every day you need to learn to begin afresh. Very important to understand to do that. If you remember when the Lord gave us a prayer to pray, a model, he's a couple of things we are to say as a key statement. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses. Give us this day, today, fish today, our trespasses. And so you need to remember God's loving mercy. You are to learn how to forgive and you are to learn how to live in forgiveness. How many times does the Lord tell you to forgive? Well, in one place he says, if your brother comes to you seven times every day and says, forgive me, you forgive him. That is a reflection on God's love. If he tells us the brother comes seven times, that means he's going to be even more generous if you ask him to forgive you. He's always going to forgive you without exception. Now, if you go to the book of Lamentations, I want to give you the scripture here. Lamentations, right after Jeremiah, you'll find Lamentation, which is written by the same prophet Jeremiah. If you go to Lamentations chapter number 3, now we're dealing with the second one, is remembering, to remember God's renewing mercies. They are, listen to what Jeremiah says about them. Jeremiah 3, verse 21, Jeremiah says this, I recall to my mind. It's something you need to recall to your mind. Often. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. The loving kindness indeed never cease. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It's another bedrock principle of the nuggets of gold that we're talking about. His compassions never fail. His loving kindness never cease. His mercy His loving kindness, mercy, compassions are new when? Every morning. Every morning. Amen. This is in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 through 23. Lamentations is right after the book of Jeremiah. You have Lamentations, Jeremiah, then you have Lamentation, because it's written by the same prophet. Lamentation has to do with the destruction of Jerusalem. When Jeremiah looked on the destruction of Jerusalem, his heart wanted to despair. He was so full of anguish. Then the Spirit of God helps him. He said, this is a call to mind. This is what you need to learn to call to mind in your faith journey, that His mercies are new every morning. His compassions never fail. His loving kindness is always there. Number three, you need to learn to strengthen yourself in faith. Strengthen yourself in faith. No one can walk in your faith. Don't compare your faith to someone else. This is another biggie. And this is what speaking in your heart is talking about. It means that you need to learn to strengthen yourself believing truth by learning to speak truth into your life. You strengthen yourself by the Word of the Lord. So it's very important that we understand this. Now I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures, because when you walk in truth, truth is something that has to originate in your heart. If it isn't, it's just words. Now here's two scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Listen to what the prophet Judge Samuel said. 1 Samuel 12. Now remember, all these are various nuggets. Faith gold. 1 Samuel chapter 12. 24. We're dealing with the third one about learning to strengthen yourself in faith. This is a biggie. You learn to speak truth. Speak in line with God's Word. 1 Samuel 12, verse 24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart, for consider great things He has done for you." Serve Him with all your heart. Strengthen yourself. The other one is in Psalm 15. Because remember, folks, this is a heart issue. The walk of faith is a heart issue. You're going to walk in what's in your heart. And this is why God will always bring back to our heart. So you look at Psalm 15. I'm going to read down a little bit. This is the one. It says, "O Lord, who may abide in your tent, dwell in your holy hill, he who walks with integrity and works righteousness, and speaks truth," where? In his heart. Comes back to the heart. Learn to speak truth in your heart. "He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, does not take reproach against a friend, in whose eye the reprobate is despised, but honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change." And then he doesn't take it to people with bribes and with usury. So that's the third one. You learn it in yourself in faith by speaking truth in your heart, by letting truth be an outflow of your heart. The Bible teaches in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, you don't have to go there, I know you're quite familiar with this, but the Bible says that the issues of life flow forth from our heart. We're going to walk in what's contained in our heart. So this is number three, learn to strengthen yourself in faith, beginning with your heart. Number four is refuse to compromise or be a compromiser, that is, to cause somebody else to compromise. Refuse to compromise or be a compromiser. The point here is that Satan is always going to try to disrupt your faith. This is what his tactic is. This is kind of a two-pronged area. Number one, don't ever sin against your own conscience. And number two, don't interfere with another believer's faith. Now this is what we're dealing with. Number four, refuse to compromise your faith. Refuse to be a compromiser. Cause somebody else to compromise their faith. Their faith is very personal. Your faith is very personal. The Holy Spirit's in them. The Holy Spirit's in you. The Lord loves them. The Lord loves you. The Lord's going to see them through to their proper course. So this is very important. Refuse to compromise or be a compromiser. And that's two areas. Don't sin against your own conscience, and don't interfere with another person's faith. Go with me to Romans 14. Romans 14 lays it out so wonderfully. And this is an area where truth can be relative. I'm not talking about the work of us now. I'm talking about where you are in your walk with the Lord. Your walk can be a little different than another person's walk. And we need to give room for that and to allow for that. Praise God for it. If you look at Romans chapter 14, Listen carefully to what Paul says. Skim a little bit on this chapter. Verse 1 says, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions." Don't tell him he's wrong and slice him down and butcher him, beat him up. You may be wrong. By the way, one person has faith that he can eat all things, but he's weak, eats vegetables only. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who does not eat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats, for he has accepted him. Who are you to judge the servant of another? Your own master, he stands or falls, and he will stand. Look at it carefully. This is God's business. For the Lord is able to make him stand. Look at verse 14 of the same chapter. I am convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is clean in itself, but to him who thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Do you see what Paul's trying to tell us? This is really a vast area where we have to work through, walk out, process life, and it's not for us to be beating on another or judging somebody else about issues like this. These are very important things to the walk of faith. Look at 18. For he who in this way serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Verse 22. The faith which you have as your conviction before God. Happy is the one who does not condemn himself in what he does. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. Look at the rest of it. And whatever is not from faith is sin. That is, anything that you do that will be contrary to your own conscience and to your own passions of faith and your own convictions, your own feelings, never do it. Don't compromise that. And don't cause somebody else, don't be a stumbling block for somebody else's walk of faith. This is important to a walk of faith. We have to understand this. We have to be compassionate people and to allow somebody to walk and to grow and to learn how to walk in what God has for them. That was number four. Number five is to retake lost ground. And this is so important, folks. Don't ever, ever underestimate the blessing of repentance and of reconsecration. Don't ever underestimate that. Don't ever. It's very important that we don't do that. All through the Scriptures, you're going to find that blessing is upon the repentant always and without exception. And there's a reason for that. There's two reasons. First of all, it's an issue of God's love. God always seeks to repent. He's always asking them to turn, and His arms are always open. That's the first issue. The second issue is that it is a promise. All through the Bible, you see repentance. You see attached to repentance the blessing of the Lord, the presence of God. So don't let the enemy trip you up in this area about repentance and about reconsecration. You can do it every day. You'll find yourself repenting every day. See, the ancient people of God, the ancient sages, the Jewish people, they taught that repentance is a walk. It is actually a way of worship. And that all it is making little minor adjustments as you walk in life, that you're continually checking your attitude. Isn't that true? Well, the Holy Spirit's helping us do this. Repentance is always changing, adjusting, changing the way of thinking, changing your mind about things, and always coming back in line. Well, the Holy Spirit's a great repentance doer in our hearts and lives. It is His goodness that brings us to repentance. He's always working. Don't ever underestimate the blessing of repentance and reconsecration, dedication, and retaking any lost ground. Now, if you go to Isaiah 28, I'm going to give you just two here in Isaiah, kind of back to back. Listen to the promise. We could have found this one a lot of different places. Isaiah 28, verse number 12. He who said to them, "Here is rest, give rest to the weary, and here is repose," but they would not live. I won't elaborate too much now. This is God's call to repentance. Prophetically, it's the call to Jesus, Jewish people, but it applies to all people. Turn from yourself, receive Jesus Christ, turn to the Lord. He said, "This is the rest." Didn't Jesus say, "Come unto me, all ye labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest"? Did He say, "I'll give you rest"? Take my yoke that has come under my... You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Well, this is what we're talking about. Verse number 18. Just go to chapter 30. I'll see the other one in chapter 30 that has to deal with this. retaking lost ground, repentance, reconsecration. Isaiah 30, verse number 15. Thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, has said, listen carefully, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. Now that group, you said, you weren't willing to repent. But for those who are willing to repent, what is the promise? You will be saved. In quietness and trust will be your strength. So, once again, I want to reemphasize not to ever underestimate the blessing of repenting. And you may be dealing with something you had to deal with many times in your life. Simply come back. Always learn the process of worshiping God through repentance, reconsecration, rededication. And what I'm talking about, these are things the Holy Spirit works in your heart. Amen? So thank God for that. Now, number six, remember where the Lord brought you from. Remember where the Lord brought you from. Stop and think about where you are right now and where you were before you met the Lord, and over years of you growing in faith and maturing and discovering the Lord and discovering goodness and discovering His blessing. So you remember where the Lord brought you from. This is where memorial stones come in your life. This is where fathers and mothers can pass their faith on to their children. When they share with their children the goodness of the Lord in their life and what they were at one time and how their life went astray at one time and how that they met Jesus and the things that He did for them. Not only in salvation, but all the answered prayers and all the blessed memorial stones. This is why God commanded Israel to build memorials that whenever the father walked by with the grandson or with the granddaughter or son or daughter or whoever, or even mother could do this, and the son would ask, what is that about? And they would say, that was where God parted the Jordan, and that's when He brought us through. So you tell the stories of your fathers. This is why God gave us the written Bible. This Bible is filled full of actual events of the goodness of the Lord from Genesis all the way through Revelation. This is why it's good to read the Bible to your children in a way that they can understand it. Even in children's books where it's written on there, it's good to let them hear the stories of God's faith heroes. Because what's happening to them is that you're building in them a capacity to live and walk in faith unto the Lord. Two scriptures, they're both in the book of John. Look at John. Well, just look at chapter 20. I think I'll give you the one here. John 20. And we're remembering where the Lord brought us from. In 20, verse number 30. 30, chapter 20, verse 30, 31. Therefore, many signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in the book. But these have been written, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. An awesome statement is telling you why God wrote the Bible for His people. These are true stories. These are facts. These things that happened, they happened. And so we read of the memorials of the ancient Israel, of the apostolic people of God. And then we reflect on life. Every one of you have got memorial stones in your life. You have all got treasures and memories, victories that God has given you. Share these to bolster the faith of your children, of your sons and your sons and your daughters and granddaughters. Can you say amen? So this is, remember where the Lord brought you from. Now, number seven is to allow the Lord to choose for you. Now, this is where you're going to enter into a mature level of faith. Whenever you're a young believer, whenever we're young in the Lord, we tend to tell the Lord, bless us. Isn't that right? We tell Him how to structure our life and give me this and give me that and give me this and give me that. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, folks. That's just a particular level of faith that you're in. You know, children are in the gimme age. But as you mature in faith, you're going to find the desires and the longings of your are much different, and you stop making a lot of listing on things you want God to do. You begin to trust Him as your Heavenly Father to fill out your life the way He wants to fill it out. And this is so awesome for us to remember that you're going to change. This is the true Abrahamic attitude. This is where lifting up your eyes comes from. In the Bible, you're going to hear the statement, lift up your eyes. God told Abraham, lift up your eyes. He let God choose for him. You remember the story of Abraham and his nephew Lot. And they began to argue with one another because they were so blessed that their blessings were overflowing one another, and the herds were getting mixed up, and the tribesmen were beginning to argue, and Abraham loved his Lot like a son. And finally, they had to do something. And he said, now, Lot, you choose who you want, and whatever's left, I'll take. You remember the story? That's mature faith. That's trust in Jehovah, Yahweh, God, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lot pitched his tents down towards Sodom. He saw he chose what looked like the best of the land. But what he was choosing was heartaches for himself. When he took family down to Sodom and became involved in the eldership of that city, and you saw that. Now, he was a righteous man. The Bible says Lot was a righteous man, but look what happened to him because he had an eye for himself to choose what he wanted. And when he was separated from Abraham, God said, Abraham, now lift up your eyes to the north and the south and the east and the west. All that land, as you walk through it, I'm going to give it to you. You see, it's so important in the faith walk to allow the Lord to choose for us. Now, if you go to Psalm 16, you'll see this. Because He will do better for you than you would ever do for yourself. You design your own blessings, you're going to end up with some problems that you really wouldn't want to have. If you look at Psalm 16, now this is number 7, allow the Lord to choose for you. Psalm 16, look at verse number 5 and verse number 6. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You support my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Indeed, my heritage is beautiful to me. You see what he's saying? I didn't choose anything for myself. You chose it for me. You understand what he's saying? So it's very important in your walk in maturing faith. Don't try to design your own life or your own calling or your own stewardship. Whatever you think you ought to be. Let the Lord choose for you. He always gives the best to leave the choice with Him. Can you say amen? All right, that was number 7. Well, we're doing good, folks. Pardon me. Number 8. Remember that blessings come in unexpected ways. This joy element of the faith life, be it or not. When you're in true biblical faith, that is a spiritual faith, there's going to be it's going to have a spiritual element in it where you have anticipation of God's goodness. You always have the sense of goodness working in your life. You know that no weapon formed against you can prosper. You know that God has chosen you. You know that He's chosen to bless you. You know that your future is secure. You know these things. And so inside your heart, there is an anticipation of faith. There is almost an excitement of faith toward goodness every day. What is it going to be today, Lord? And so the blessings of God can come. And even when they come with a flat tire, you know God's going to bring something good out of it. Thank you, Jesus. Can you stand? This is an important thing. These are areas that are so important. It is to know that you are blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed of the Lord. You are blessed in the Lord. Now, if you go to Psalms 34, the Lord gave me a song many years ago from that psalm. And I want you to listen to something David said. This is such a wonderful psalm. Psalm 30, so directed to the blessing of the child belongs to the Lord. Psalm 34. Verse number 8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is sometimes good. No, it's not in my leader. Sorry, Brother Gary. I know I make you mad when I do that, but I need to make sure you blow pumping. O taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, you His saints. For fear Him, there is no want. See, that's the expressions of the fact that you are blessed and that your life is secured in Him. So, and this is what's going to secure your heart in these days where you're seeing pillars of clouds of fire, clouds of oil wells, and which the Bible eventually describes, in my opinion, is nuclear war. But just throw that over to the side. We won't worry about that right now. The thing is, the Bible Jesus said that men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. But what does He say to you? Do not be afraid. I am with you. See, He always comes against fear because He wants you to know that you are the children of God. You are the children of His protection. You are the children of His hand. You are the child of His blessing. When I say Goshen, you know the story of Egypt and Israel in Goshen, when all eggs and things were falling everywhere else, there was a protected enclave for God's children. I don't want that too far. My point is this, is to know that you are blessed in the Lord and that His blessings come in unexpected ways. Sometimes what we see as a failure, a problem, or a struggle is really a blessing coming in disguise. You just didn't know it. You ever saw a thing happen in your life that looked like it was a bad thing, but when it was over with, it ended up being a good thing? You ever had it happen? Yes, it happens all the time, so we can thank God for that. So number 8, remember blessings come in unexpected ways. Number 9, prove to be a doer of the word. This is very important because some people think that God has to bless you just because. Well, there is some just because in that, but he doesn't bless you just because, folks. The blessings that God has for His people, they rest upon our obedience. And it's so important. This is what divides true biblical faith from what's called metaphysical faith. Well, metaphysical faith, it doesn't matter what you do in your heart so much. If you can speak the right words and control, push the right buttons and do the right laws, you can make God do what you want Him to do because He's obligated. That is not biblical faith. God's blessings rest upon the house of the right and upon the house of the obedient. And that's why it's so important that we need to learn how to be obedient to the things that we know that's right. Now, if you look at James chapter 1, and I know you're familiar with this one, but it's such a strong statement made by James. And James uses a little Greek word here that every once in a while I'll throw out, where we get our word poem, poetis, which is the doer. The blessings are created around you in the doing of the word. Now, if you listen carefully, we're in the faith area on number 9. Prove to be a doer of the word. Look at James 1:22. It said, "But prove yourselves doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves." People who don't do what's right and do what they need to be doing, but they're hearing the message all the time, start getting sluggish in their spiritual life because they're not doing what the message says to do. They're hearing, and they like what they're hearing, but if they're not doing, then what will happen is it will cause them to become a spiritual slug. Pardon me, I don't have another term to use beside that. I mean, they're going to be bloated and unable to sense of God in their life. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, for once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was." Now look at verse 25. "But who looks intently at the perfect law." The perfect law is the gospel of Jesus Christ that pertains to it. That's called the perfect law. He's not talking about the law of Moses. That was imperfect. It was imperfect. Believe it or not. "The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty," is that freedom in Christ, "and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, an effectual doer." Now read the rest of that statement with me. "This man will be blessed in what he does." This man, this woman will be blessed because they have become a hearer simply of the gospel and that which pertains to God's people, but has become a doer of God's word. Can you say amen? Now there's a sub-key here. I'm going to throw on this one real quick. The Lord looks for the motive of the heart in the things that you're doing. I hope that you know that. Because there's some people that may, because they want attention. Or because they like the acclamation, or they like the feeling of looked up all the time of how great a teacher you are, how whatever, or to be admired all the time. And if that's the motive of our heart, is to be admired and to be pumped up and to receive an acclamation, God doesn't bless that, because we're not doing righteousness. We're not doing that are right. We're doing out of ill-founded motives. And that's why Jesus, if you look at chapter 6, Jesus tried to, He did not only try, but He did explain to people the importance of doing things in such a way as not to draw attention to self. Now, I know the minister in the pulpit always draws attention to himself, but he's not trying to draw attention to him. He's trying to draw attention to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Well, if you listen carefully to Matthew 6, I'm going to read just the first four verses. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men. Notice by them. Now, by the way, you do practice righteousness, folks. That is just a walk of obedience. That's what righteousness is. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. When you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets. They may be honored by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Now, folks, you have to understand the figurative language. This is a Hebraic expression. That is, keep it to yourself. So that your gift will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So what you're doing is going to be out of devotion to God Himself and a desire to be obedient to the Word. And the Holy Spirit's helping you to do the things that you need to do. So it's important that we understand this issue of proving to be doers of the Word. We do it from the heart. Not for any other reason. Amen? Okay, that was number 9. Number 10, learn to put behind the old life. This is a biggie, folks, because this is an area where Satan's going to bring up your past badness every time he can, if he can get you to listen to him. And when I talk about your badness, the badness you had as a sinner, and the badness you may have stumbled in after you became a believer. I mean, Satan, if he can whittle around and bring condemnation upon you, he can immobilize your faith walk. He can make you get so repressed in yourself that you're not able to enjoy a walk with the Lord. You're under a cloud of guilt all the time. And it's very important to understand that you are guiltless. Jesus took the punishment, the condemnation of your sins upon Him. Not just your pen, but your life. There was a life exchange. Now, this is not permission, folks. This, you need to understand, this is a point of issue of not letting the devil put you under condemnation. You have been, you are forgiven ones. Your life has been forgiven. Sins, your past, you know, whatever it may be. And you need to know what God said. Now, look at Romans chapter 4. This is an important scripture here. Sometimes, folks, and let me give you one little area. Sometimes I have a hard time with healing, and healing is in the Bible, folks, but there's a lot of issues to be understood with healing. But sometimes people have a hard time getting the healing because they think God's punishing them for some bad thing that they did. And so He's punishing me. And so they can't release their faith. They can't let their faith go in the promise of God. Even the Holy Spirit into their heart, they have to struggle with it. Why? Because Satan has pressed upon them so much condemnation over something that happened in their life that they struggle over and over and over with this thing. John says, he that fears punishment is not made perfect in love. God's not out to punish. He's out to heal us, just to cure. It's not that we may not have problems that result from some failure in our life, but the point is God has placed no condemnation on you. This is why when you study the life of Jesus, when He ministered to people, do you ever notice how tenderly and sweetly He ministered to the oppressed, people caught up in sin? The ones He had the most problem with were the religious bigots, hypocrites that were killing everybody else around them. But you know, we have a lot of those. We have especially maybe in the case of prostitution. And multiple marriages. The lady had been married several times and finally was living with the man. Jesus didn't hurt her. Her need needed to be exposed by a loving Messiah. And He spoke into her life. The little lady that was drugged up before Him was in the prostitution. I want to know what happened to the man. He didn't beat her up. He ministered His loving compassion and kindness into her heart and her life and showed her her life together. Don't let Satan, and there's not a person in this building, who doesn't have something in your past that could be visible, that maybe wants to keep dragging up before you. This is why Paul said there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the Spirit of life, Christ Jesus, has made you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, God did. Sending His own Son in the likeness of sin and sinful flesh, and condemns sin in the flesh. That is, sin for God's people was for the whole planet, by the way, was judged 2,000 years ago in that cross for all who will receive Jesus. Now, if you look at Romans chapter 4, look at verse number 5. The one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Do you see that? Your faith becomes your righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Now look at these two verses. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have given and whose sin have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Do you know how you get to go to heaven, folks? Where you don't have to stop at go or whatever. You know why you get to go to heaven? Because God has given you His own righteousness through the atoning of His Son. Your righteousness is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have something in heaven that is taking your place till you get there. Now, in prophetic terms, you're already there. God's not concerned about losing you. He's not going to lose you. In fact, when Paul wrote, he said you've already been seated. Doesn't sound like God's concerned about losing you. So you've already been in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, we used to always quote that as being a good service. Thank God for good service, but that is a divine act. God raised you up with Christ and seated you at His own right hand in the heavenly place so He could show the loving purpose of His righteousness, the work that He did through redemption. So it's important to learn to put that old life behind you. And I don't care if life was yesterday. Put it behind you. Can you say amen? Now, where are we at? Number 11. Thank you, sis. Learn to live by your last instructions. This is a real nugget, because this is a balancer for your life. This is where you learn to know God for you. Learn to live by your last instruction. Now, this is something that's important to understand. Biblical faith has boundaries, has spiritual boundaries around it. And those boundaries are called the boundaries of peace. And whenever you've been beyond, one way you can tell when you've moved beyond the boundary of faith is when you begin to lose your peace. Right? You've moved into an area, somehow you've been drawn out of the realm of faith. You're thinking something, you're believing a lie, or you're worried, or you're anxious about something, and you lose your peace. That peace is the container of your faith walk. And so, let's go back to what your last instructions were. Let me say it this way. Learn to hear God for yourself. Don't worry about the yay, 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 yay God said. Don't worry about it. There's a lot of folks that try to direct your life and tell you what's right for your life. Don't worry about it, folks. You are God's sheep. My sheep, my voice. And another, they are not going to follow. You belong to God. And the second thing you need to realize, folks, is this. God is working His will in your life. He's already at work. You are the will of God. The moment you became born again, the will of God on this. He has no accidental children. There are no oops. You're on purpose. Pardon me, I don't mean to be gross, folks. But you're here by design. And God is at work in your life, both to work and to will His good pleasure. You start right now where you are. I am in God's will. Now, have a sense of peace that you've lost. It's because you're not in God's will. I don't mean locational wise. I mean you're not in faith. You've moved out of faith boundaries. You've lost your peace. Amen or oh me. Right? I think I have a scripture for this one. I forgot what it was. Well, yeah, this is John 10, 27. You can write it down if you want, where Jesus talked about my sheep. But there's other scriptures that go along with that. The fact that God is at work in your life. He is the great workman. You are creation. He is helping you process your life and your faith and your walk with Him. He's the one that turns your heart back to Him when you start going astray a little bit. How many folks ever strayed a little bit? Thank you, brother. You and I have. Anybody else ever strayed a little bit? Well, He brings you back. You strayed a little bit. He brings you back. He's the author of your faith. He is the finisher of your faith. So it's important to learn to live by your last... What I mean by last instruction, folks, I'm not asking you to go out there and listen to strange voices that tell you what to do. God places in your heart what you need to be doing, where you need to be. Where you need to be involved in church, where your peace is, or whatever it may be, what your stewardship is. Now, I don't do it much anymore. I don't do it hard at all anymore. Because I'm an evangelist by nature. And nothing I enjoy more than to proclaim the gospel. But it used to be that every spring, I'd start getting this. I need to go here. I need to go there. I need to go here. And if you mess, start losing my peace. And why was that? Because God had given me stewardship. And if you know what your stewardship is, rest in that, and that's where your peace is, that's where your anointing is going to be. If God's anointed you as a teacher, that's where your anointing will be. If God's anointed you as a pastor, that's where your anointing is going to be. If God's anointed you in whatever it may be, in those terms, those are church terms. But regardless of what it is, even in your job, God blesses you in your work. He gives you grace for that. You see what I'm saying? So I'll come back to, what's the last thing? If you're not sure about direction in your life or what to do, then ask, what was the last thing that I know that God said to me about what I'm supposed to be doing? Always come back to that. You'll always be on safe ground if you'll do that. Amen? Uh-oh, number 12. Ooh-wee. Okay, now I'm going to give you about 60 seconds. If anybody can guess what my second, with my 12th nugget of gold is, I'm going to buy your lunch. Go ahead, Sister Nora. Do what? Enter into God's rest. Boy, that is a good one. That's not it, but that's a good one. That's really good, sis. Okay, let's have another one. You can have all the guesses you want, because what I'm going to share is so valuable to the faith walk, but a lot of people don't think about it. You're not hungry, are you? Think.
Is it
a rethink of number one? That's another good one, sister. But that's not it. Oh, that is powerful, brother. That's so powerful. Who else is hungry? David.
Brother, you know I'm hungry.
Do what?
You know I'm hungry.
Okay. Boy, that is a good one. That is good. Man, I like it. That's not it, though. But I like it, brother. You can go ahead, Sister Nora. Man. I don't know if I can get all those extra ones in there. That's good. That's not it. It's good, though. Man, I tell you, I ought to have about 24. Well, just think about it, folks. The thing that is so valuable to the walk of faith. That when I tell you, you're just going to say, well, that's it.
Be mindful of your words, not what you say.
Say that again.
Be mindful of the words you say, being in the walk of faith, being positive, negative, not your lunch.
That's heavy, boy. I like that. You did, though. Thank you, brother. Go ahead.
Know him.
Oh, that's good. Go ahead. No, that's not it, brother. Man, I love these things. Boy. I'm doing better than Nathan on Friday night. That's not it either. Okay, let me give you 2-3 more chances than I do this. Go ahead, Robert. Man. Whew. That is so good. Go ahead, John. That's good. That's good. Says no shepherd boy. See how awesome this is. This is so awesome to hear what you're saying. Go ahead, Brother Jim.
Before Abraham was.
Thank you. Woo, that's good, brother. Just Nora. I don't get to buy anybody's lunch today. I am so sorrowful. Oh, tithe? A separate lesson altogether, but we're going to get on that for too long. Thank you. Appreciate that. That was a word from your sponsor. Holy Spirit gave that to us. Okay. This is something that is so awesome and so important to your faith, but you don't think about it. Ready? You need to acquire a sense of humor. You'd never thought of that, would you? Why? I'm going to show you in just a minute. So you're just fixing to say it, wouldn't you? You need to acquire. Now, you may not think this is important to a faith walk, but it is crucial to the health of your walk with the Lord. There's nothing the enemy hates more than for you to laugh at any problem he may be throwing your way. It's crucial. He wants to get you. By the way, he wants to get you so wrapped up in the letter that you're not only beating on, but you're beating on everybody else. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, Paul said the kingdom of God is not something, but he said it is something. He said the kingdom of God is not eating or drinking, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And God's people take this one very seriously because having a healthy, humorous attitude, God can laugh. God wants you to laugh. And folks, listen to me. Every time God answers your prayer, every time God does something special in your life, every time God does anything where you take notice, He has given you something to laugh about. He has made laughter for you. He has put joy in your mouth. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You need to develop a sense of humor. You ever been around and have a sense of humor but so wrapped up in the letter? Golly. What's wrong with that, God? You're afraid it's contagious. Right? You've heard me use this illustration, but true, their bottom lip is hanging down so low that you'd hate to see them vacuuming the rug. You need to laugh. You need to have a sense of humor. And even when bad things seem to happen, folks, listen to me. If you'll notice, the Holy Spirit will give you something to laugh about. Go with me to Proverbs. This is our last one. I guess I have to eat by myself today. Proverbs 17. I have that one and one more scripture, then I'm through. You see, if you guys would have come even close, I'd have bought you lunch, but you didn't even come close. Look at verse 22. Do you have it? I have this one and one more. Listen to what it says. A joyful heart is good medicine. Broken spirit dries up the bones. Do you understand what he's saying? Your health will relate to the joy of your own heart, to the laughter of your own heart, to the humor of your own heart. God wants to teach how to laugh and to have humor and how to enjoy. One of the sons of Jacob, according to the book of Psalms, was that laughter would be found in their tent. I'm not talking about this weird movement called the laughing movement, folks. I mean, that's, in many cases, I think that's a shame thing. But I'm talking about your heart being full of joy and laughter and humor. And God will help you to develop an attitude of humor, folks. Now, for you newer folks that have never this, let me tell you what he did to me one time. I wasn't pastoring. I was pastoring the last. I had a friend that I had met from Lake Charles doing tent revivals. And he's tent up down in the woods by the little Choctaw Indian area called Hood Camp, that area. And I don't know why in the world he set a tent way back in the woods, but he did. And I knew I wanted to get to his revival, tent revival that night, and I had in my book a $100 bill and a $1 bill, right? Some of you folks can tell. All day long I wanted to get to the store to get change for that 100, because I wanted to give him a big offer. I'm going to give him $20. You have to remember, folks, this is 28, 29 years ago. I'll give him $20. Maybe a little more. For some, I never could get to the store, so I went to the revival that night, and I couldn't afford his preaching because I knew they were going to pass the offering. How many folks are like that? Aren't you glad we don't pass offering plates around here? You'd have to struggle with it. We don't pass them. You don't give it, that's between you and the Lord. But I couldn't enjoy that for thinking about it. And it looks like they weren't going to pass the offering, so I started relaxing a little bit. And other preachers say, well, we need to pass the offering for this brother. Oh, dear God. Now, the strange thing, my wife Betty knew my dilemma. And she was laughing. She was watching me squirm. She was sitting, I think I've been sitting with Sister Rita. I'm not for sure. I believe she's with your mom and Danny. Or your older sister. So she's telling the other girl about my problem, and I am squirming over. Here comes that London offering plate. Gets up to me, and I open my billfold and take out that $1 bill in there. And he passes on by. And, oh, I just start twisting up on the inside. Wait a minute. Come on back. He came back, and I took the $100 bill. I put it in the plate. So the $100 bill is my little buffer. How many folks feel like, yeah, I have a little buffer? God just don't have to take care of you, so you need a little buffer. Well, I gave it, and I put it in. I started home that night, and I am telling you, this had to be the Holy Spirit. At least it came into my mind. I was laughter down in my heart saying, if you'd have given the 100, you'd have had a dollar right now. But as it was, you had to give the 100 and the dollar. And I laughed. I began to laugh. I have done that so many times. That the Lord wants you to have a sense of humor. He wants you to have laughter. I'm going to give you my last scripture. Go to Genesis 21. Are they value to you, folks? You could take me to lunch, by the way. Genesis 21. Let me drop down to verse number 3. Abraham called the name of his son born to him, who Sarah bore to him. Ha ha. Isaac means laughter, folks. She called him Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "The Lord has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And she said, "Who said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." Do you see what Sarah said? Are we all right? I ain't quitting, folks, till I'm through. What said in verse 6? God has made laughter for me. God makes laughter. This is part of the faith. This is part of the faith experience. You need to learn. You need to have a sense of humor. You need to learn how to laugh. Even when something bad happens, you watch the person who's in. They will find joy and humor and laughter in it, and they'll minister around them. Can you say amen? There they are, folks. People who can laugh in a battle, their faith is very strong. They're very secure in their walk with the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's talk a bit. Oh, John 7. I wanted to give you a couple more scriptures. One's in Philippians chapter 12. Chapter 12 that goes with that. And if you're taking notes, also include, I didn't want to take too much time, to include Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21, where it says God is at work. God's doing. Both of them say the same thing, say it a little differently, but John 10, 27 was the scripture. Amen? That's why they used to sing this song. My mouth is full of laughter, oh ha 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 ha. My mouth is full of laughter, oh ha ha ha. My mouth is full of laughter, oh ha 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 ha. Oh, the joy of the Lord, my strength. He gives me living waters, and I thirst no more. He gives me living waters, and I thirst no more. He gives me living waters, and I thirst no more. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Get a sense of you. I got to look at you. Can you see? Go ahead.
I have a cute story. Remember after Lily came and made the mess of eating everything, and the guys came out and cut the major wood but left all the small stuff? I looked at it for several weeks, and then I said, okay, I'm going to go out there. So I went out by myself, and 3 days. But I was out there, and I was so tired, and I had been picking up, and I'm standing there, and I'm looking at these mounds of limbs and stuff, and all of a sudden, in my spirit, the Lord starts singing, little is much when God is in it.
Thank
and
you,
I
Jesus.
Started laughing. I said, you do have a great sense of humor, don't you? It was priceless.
Isn't that amazing?
It was fine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it didn't really bother me after that.
No.
It was like, you know, okay, you're here. We'll just keep working.
Isn't that beautiful? The Lord will give you something to laugh at. Now, see, I came in this morning. My lip was dragging the ground. Well, I had to work with Janae yesterday. All the other guys scattered. She made me. I tell you what, and I know some young teenagers here that she worked with. That's all right. It was joy. I'm losing weight, though, folks. I got to get enough weight lost so I can start dancing like I need to. Anyone else? Okay, did you get the last point? If you get the first point and the last, everything else is sandwiches, bologna and cheese, and lettuce and tomatoes. Always look to Jesus. He's the author of your faith. And get us a humor, because stuff is going to happen sometime that you're going to need to have to laugh about. Father, in the name of Jesus, we commit the ministry into your hands. Thank you, Lord, for the issue of family, of home, and of our love and walk with you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We give honor to you in your holy name. Amen.